and welcome to the What We've Watched podcast. My name is Chris.
This is Emmett.
And this is episode 11. And we're going to be talking about Fall TV. It's episode 11, right?
Faulty what?
Fall TV. Fall TV.
Like faulty wiring?
Faulty wiring, electrical hazards. We've changed the format of the podcast. We'll be talking purely about in-home construction and renovations. Safety.
You know what I hate is a faulty chair.
A faulty chair. Yeah. Okay. Faulty towers.
Yeah.
Other so things. So this is the faulty podcast.
Yeah.
Faulty.
Something's
recordings.
Wrong. Something's wrong. I think it might be faulty. So we mentioned last week that we were going to touch on some TV this week. So basically we're going to be looking at sort of fall stuff and a little bit beyond.
Yeah.
You know, a little sneak peek.
Yeah.
So we haven't really done much in the way of TV stuff yet. A couple of mentions in like the first episode.
Well, it's
way back when.
It's summertime, so not a ton of stuff on right at the moment. You know, you get the HBO shows and stuff like that, but you know, network TV, all the kind of regular TV programming is
was
off season.
Yeah.
So yeah. So.
But I mean, that doesn't mean we can't mention it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I've mentioned it a few times, but yeah, nothing.
Anyways,
nothing.
So
yeah. Before that, how you doing this week?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. That's good. That's good. You watch anything?
Well, last week I talked about the plan on Monday to be watching Blade Runner.
Right.
So we did that. So that was my first time.
Oh, that was like the Blu-ray version, right?
Yeah, it was my first time seeing it on Blu-ray. And we watched Final Cut, obviously. So,
Beautiful, beautiful Final Cut.
Yes. Well, I've seen it on DVD.
Same.
I think like once or twice, maybe. Because when it came out, I was working at the video store and I got like the super box set thing with like the case and
I almost got the extra
doodads.
I was so close to getting that.
Yeah. So that one's got like the fifth disc, which has the work print cut. That's the only place you can get that. Cause the other one that was not in the special super duper box just had the four versions. So it was like theatrical, director's cut, final cut. Wait, no. Okay, so
yep.
I'm adding an extra.
You're adding a version.
Sorry, the fifth, the other disc is like the bonus stuff.
Oh, right.
So there's three cuts, and then there's the fourth one is the work print one. Anyways, but that was on DVD because that was before I had a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
That was before I had my PS3.
Last copy of Blade Runner I owned was on VHS.
Yeah.
And I guess it was just whatever version was on VHS.
The old original director's cut DVD was also one of the first DVDs I ever owned.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my mom gave it to me like for like Christmas, I think, the year that I first got a DVD player. So, yeah. But
it's a good movie.
It's really good. But yeah, so had never seen on Blu-ray before, and the final cut obviously is really, really nicely,
I bet.
Done up. So it's, without getting too deeply into it, there's not really a lot I can really say, but just seeing it again this time, it's like I can think of a few other movies that are like that in the way of like every shot is literally like a work of art. Like you could just take that shot and put it on the wall. You know, the lighting and the design of the environment and how people move and how people are, the costuming.
Attention to detail
everything,
is ridiculous in that
movie. It's insane. And it's way more so than I remembered, you know. And the Blu-ray and everything did not let it down as far as that. It just made it look better, if anything.
Yeah, because that sometimes can be a problem with, like, especially older movies with effects and stuff
huge
like that.
Problem.
If they don't go back and touch them up.
Especially, like,
just, like all the flaws suddenly come to the forefront.
Makeup and things like that.
Yeah.
Makeup was often never meant to be seen.
So
clearly.
Sometimes the makeup
was
never
meant to be seen so clearly. It was
awesome.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I was really happy with that.
I actually haven't seen that movie. I haven't seen Blade Runner in about 3 years. So I might watch that again.
Well, it had
been
longer than that
since I had
last seen it. But that's all right.
Yeah, I think it was a little over 3 years ago when me and Laura first started dating. She'd never seen Blade Runner, and so we watched it
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, I can't even imagine like what that would be like for somebody now that's never seen it before. Because, I mean, obviously they know going into it, they can contextualize like, okay, this came out.
Young Harrison Ford.
In the early 80s. You know? But, I mean, but still, seeing it for the first time now, I can't really imagine what that would be like.
I think another great thing about that movie is it also, it holds up nicely in terms of like, there is very little in the movie that dates itself.
Well, we were talking about it, and the biggest thing is the sort of computer-related stuff.
But, and that's always...
Like graphical displays and interfaces.
Yeah. Like, all the screens are still, like, curved screens and
CRT screens, and it's all, like, very sort of...
scan lines.
Liney graphics and stuff. Yeah. And the other thing is that the use of, like, voice control...
Mm-hmm.
It's very kind of funny looking at it now, where now it's all about like touch control.
Oh, yeah.
And touch control is so much more like efficient than voice control in a lot of ways. Even if you were to get it to a point where the voice control was good, which I think we're still not as accurate as what they have in the movie.
I've used really good voice control, and it's
pretty good.
It's amazing.
But I still think
the issue is it's very expensive.
Telling the computer what to do isn't it still quicker to just reach out and go this, touch here, there, stretch this out, shrink this down,
touch. Exactly.
Like, move this from this here to there. Like, it just seems like that, like, I can see where, like, a touch interface is much better than, say, you know, a conventional, like, keyboard and mouse type of interface. But I really can't see voice interface getting better than
good
a touch interface.
Voice,
like, it's just too...
Good, well-implemented voice
it's good for
interface
certain things.
Is supplemental to your touch.
It's good for certain things.
You can do two things at once. Yeah. Or if, like, your hands are already occupied, that's what it's for.
I would agree that voice would be good for certain things, but for general control, like... Yeah. Because in Blade Runner, like, it's the thing where he's examining the photos, right? Yeah. That are, like, in the... He loads them into the computer. And then... And he's having it move around and zoom in on certain areas and stuff like that. And he's doing it all like with verbal commands.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's
so
a very
slow.
Atmospheric and like, it's a very interesting scene watching him do it. But it's like, that would have taken, like, it takes 10 times as long as it should because doing it all by voice.
And that's always,
what, if they had touchscreen.
And that's why
it's always failed
with like video games, right? Because it's so much faster just to hit the A button than it is to say any word and like get a response back. Especially because if it doesn't pick you up,
but
then it's
just,
failure all around.
But it's
around.
Just funny how that was like,
that was
their concept of the futuristic aspect was the
voice control
and
holograms.
But there was no, concept of like touch control. Like very interesting.
Yeah.
The
touch control thing that didn't really come up as a futuristic thing until like 90s sci-fi.
And you'd think it would be an obvious thing because it's not like, I mean, it's a very logical extension of a keyboard.
Yeah.
Of like a touchpad or something. Yeah. I mean, there's been, electronic interfaces for various things like synthesizers and things that have had like flat like touch pads that you can run your finger along and do cause effects and stuff like that for decades.
It
seems odd that they wouldn't have
the concept of actually like a like flat touch screen is like from the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe
it's just odd that they wouldn't have exploited that. Maybe
possibly
very much.
The fact that it already existed meant like it wasn't futuristic enough. But it turns out, they just had to make it better.
That's where the future lies. As it turns out. Anyways.
But, yeah, no, that's...
That's all I really watched this past week, so...
I haven't watched anything.
Busy week.
Bit of a crazy busy weekend, and then my computer went down on Monday, and I basically spent the last 3 days trying to recover a hard drive. And recover the files off a hard drive, and repair files from a corrupted hard drive, and I haven't had time nor the ability to really watch much of anything other than
that makes sense.
That's not true. I take that back. I watched first two episodes of Alias. Laura has never seen Alias.
Well, we talked about a possibility. Wow.
And so we
the pilot is
it's such a great pilot.
Like talking about a little bit of TV in the first episode. That's I talked about that in the first episode.
That's right.
One of the greatest pilots ever made.
Oh yeah.
I didn't really stick very hard with the show, but because I feel like it kind of ran out of steam.
I still never saw, even though I own it on DVD, I've never seen the final season.
Yeah. I just feel like once once it fulfilled its kind of original premise,
yeah,
and that, and then it had to move on to it like a new premise, or yeah, it had to reorient itself, I feel like it lost a lot
of
steam.
It's one of those things, like, if you really love the show and you're not, like super invested, you can, like, tune out about halfway through season two. Like,
yeah. Because it's a complete story. Like, they do what they set out to do, and it's done. And then from there on, it was just kind of like, well, how do we keep this going?
Yeah.
But the pilot is one of the best pilots ever made for a TV show. I still maintain.
It's very interesting, actually, the difference between the pilot and the second episode. Like, the pilot is actually quite a lot, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode is immediately like cheesy.
Yeah.
And I guess it does herald, that show does herald from a time when pilots were made quite in advance.
I'm not even necessarily saying that the pilot is like the best episode or that it's better than the rest of the show. My point is that comparing it just as a pilot.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Right. Take 10 shows, line them up.
Oh, yeah.
And the pilot is often either the strongest or one of the weakest, because they don't really know what they're doing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you want, the same way you want a strong trailer for a movie, and I can never understand when I see a movie with a bad trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so out of like the 2 hours of that movie, they couldn't find 2 minutes of good stuff to put in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not even saying they should put all the good stuff in the trailer. There should be a lot more than 2 minutes of good stuff in a 2 hour movie. But when I see a bad trailer, that makes me think that, like, okay, either the editing and the choices to put this trailer together were just, they just completely dropped the ball on.
Yeah.
Or this is a really terrible movie, because if you can't even get anything, because the whole point of the trailer is to make you want to see the movie. Don't show too much, but show just enough that people go, oh my God, that looks amazing. I have to see that movie.
Probably a lot of that has to go with, like, what side of the development makes the trailer? Is the director cutting his own trailer, or is it some ad company that they hire to do it?
And a pilot is like that for a series.
Very much.
You see the pilot, that should make you go, man, I got to watch the rest of this show. Yeah, I got to watch more of the show, because it provides an introduction to the show. Mm. And if you have a bad pilot, that's really going to turn people off.
It's a bad setup,
because it's going to turn people off, because they're going to be like, well, I gave it a shot, but that was pretty lame.
Yeah. Oh, and it's still, it's nothing new. It still happens.
And there are rare cases where there might be a kernel of something interesting enough in the pilot that you're like, well, that was a pretty bad pilot, but I'm still kind of interested to see where it goes, because I feel like there's a potential that they might be able to tap into. You know, and then that's where you get things like Spartacus, where, like, the first episode is one of the worst episodes they ever did. And if that's all you saw, it would just be like,
it got,
like, so much better, and then it would turn out to be an amazing show.
That first episode, though, you can see the potential.
Yeah.
And
I literally did
some
not...
Some people will give a show a chance based on potential, some won't.
Yeah, and I didn't go back to it. Like, I watched the first episode when it came out, and I didn't go back for some time afterwards, because I was just like...
Well, like, the show was, like, done by the that first season had been finished by the time you had gone back to it.
I believe it was, yeah. And then I went back and watched the rest and I was totally hooked. I always kind of thought I might go back to it because I was interested. Like, I'm a big enthusiast for, like, Rome stuff, ancient Rome stuff, which is ironic because I've actually still never seen Rome, but I've seen bits and pieces of it. But I mean,
that's okay. There's only the one season,
two seasons. But I've read a lot about Rome and stuff, right? And I find I've actually gotten, even though I still don't really know that much about it, like, ancient Rome, compared to people who really know their stuff. Like, I know more than, like, the average person because I've read about it, but compared to people who really know their stuff, I still don't know that much. But I still find myself, like, I'm at a point where I see, like, movies and things like that where I'm just like, oh, that's not right. That's not how that would be. Like
there's a feeling there,
like,
that just...
And then it's just like, oh, I'm one of those people now? Like, like, I know too much about the subject.
Historical critic.
That I'm just like, oh, that's not how that would have worked, you know? And I find catch myself feeling that and then just being like, oh man, like, that I'm one of those people.
That can happen.
Yeah,
anyway, the same thing happens when you if you know something like particularly, you can do that in modern movies, particularly if you know like a bunch about like just a country.
Yeah.
And then you'll see a, like a TV show or a movie that supposedly takes place in that country.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wait, none of that is actually in that. Like, none of that fits. Like, none of that would actually be in that country, you know? Like, they drop the ball.
They can,
you see that in TV shows a lot.
You can be fooled sometimes, like, though, because...
like, they're not in China. They're in Chinatown of some place they're at.
Yeah.
And because stuff nothing like else is right.
But stuff like that is kind of understandable because the logistics of, you know...
Yeah.
Especially on
but
TV.
But when they don't even attempt to, like, all the cars in the scene are clearly American cars. You're just like... well, none of this is right. You know?
Well, anyways,
yeah.
I hope everybody just enjoys some general chatting because that was way off topic.
Yeah.
But we haven't really done a whole lot of that. So.
No.
So cool. So you started on Alias. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know if we're gonna continue on it, but you know, we'll get those first few episodes out there, and it's been a long time since I've watched any of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's been forever.
Well, it's a pretty old show. Is that 90s show?
I think it's like early 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
But, you know, hey, went 5 seasons. You know, it's...
Was it 5 or 4?
I
thought it was 4.
1, 2, 3, 5. That 5th season was a half season, though.
Oh, right.
Just count my DVD boxes.
Good old
here.
Half seasons.
Yeah. It was just 8 episodes. Not even a half season. It was only 8 episodes.
Mini-season.
Mini-season, yeah. They just basically wrapped it up.
Right.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking about fall 2015 and maybe
a little,
spring.
Yeah,
for,
a little sneak peek,
you know,
beyond that.
Mid-season replacement / you know, early year shows are all the rage now. So
yeah.
And also nowadays with shows popping up on Netflix, HBO, and stuff like that, kind of just whenever.
Yeah, actually, I got something to say about that.
Oh,
for
you got
sure.
something to say?
Oh, yeah.
Positive?
Well, yeah, just...
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you have this.
I started off, my list just starts off with returning shows.
Returning shows, okay, yeah. I've got that.
Okay, and then I just did it by date, by like what returns first.
Well, I imagine... some of these are probably going to be similar.
Yeah.
What have you got first?
Doctor Who, season 9.
So, so September 19th, Doctor Who. Yeah. Okay, so the thing about this, actually, because I wanted to talk about this.
Did you finally finish watching season 8?
Yeah, because it's on Netflix, and that's what I wanted to address. Okay, basically...
oh, is it? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and like a little while ago, but not super... okay, basically, it's like it takes quite a long time. Like, it takes like months and months and months and months and months for it to come to Netflix. And the thing is, with Doctor Who, like, when we were watching it together, the new series,
because
those first few seasons, when it came back, like, well, when the new series began, we were kind of watching it together all the time. And that always provides that, like, motivation of just, well, it's just something that we do, so we just get together, watch Doctor Who. And since we haven't been doing that, like, I don't... the weird thing is I still like the show when I see it, but I feel very little motivation to watch it.
Ah.
Like, I never I never really feel like I'm missing it or like, you know, oh, I can't wait for new Doctor Who. Like, I don't really feel that way.
Well, we should start watching it together again.
I can wait. No, but I'm saying this not as a bad thing. Like, last season, the fact that I didn't watch, you know, any new Doctor Who for... you know,
a year,
probably a year and a half, 2 years or something, I didn't really even notice. Like, I was not really hotly anticipating it. Then when I saw that it came up on Netflix, I was like, all right. And then I just kind of watched through that season at a pretty quick pace. Once I get into it, I enjoy watching it, but I don't really feel a strong motivation to watch it. And that's kind of a fairly unique to that show thing, because most other shows, I either want to watch it as it's happening or I just don't care at all, and it's like I usually just won't see it ever. Whereas with Doctor Who, like, I do want to see it. I just don't really care when.
I'm gonna be like, I look forward to Doctor Who starting, but again, you know, I watched it with you. I also watch it with like some other people. I don't know if I'm just suffering from Doctor Who burnout, but like, if I wasn't watching it with other people, I don't know. Despite kind of looking forward to it, I don't know if I would just watch it on my own. For example, I missed an episode last season because I was busy, didn't get to see it with other people. And then just ended up watching the rest of it, just missing whatever episode that was.
Yeah.
And it took me months and months to just go back and watch that episode. I mean, it didn't feel like I was missing it. It wasn't an integral to the story kind of episode. But
was it the moon is an egg one? Because that was,
no, it wasn't the moon is an egg.
That was
one.
Awful.
You didn't like the moon is an egg one.
That was a terrible episode. Except
I like the moon is an egg.
Except
one.
For the, well, I mean,
it was a kind of bad that I enjoyed, which is weird because I usually don't enjoy
it was,
that.
It was awful. The only thing that was good about it
was schlocky.
The only thing that was good about it was the very end, sort of confrontation-y thing where when she's like super mad at the doctor and
Clara.
When she has that whole like speech, and that was some really good performance there, and that interaction was amazing.
Is this second or third season with him?
Second
season for Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi, yeah. So
excellent.
What
do you got next?
So for me next is September 21st. I should probably mention.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, I've probably mentioned this before, but mm-hmm. I'm really bad with TV, just like with keeping up on things and sort of feeling motivated to actually watch things. So generally,
then you tend to binge watch. Well, you'll just like, I'm just going to catch up on this show over the next week, and you watch like
sometimes
8 episodes in a week or something.
Sometimes I don't do that as much anymore.
No.
That's a young man's game.
I get that.
But yeah, I mean, occasionally.
Yeah.
What I do tend to watch mostly is the comic book based shows. In the same way as with the comic book movies, that's kind of where I get like my comic book fix as somebody who grew up as a comic book fan, because I just, the comics that they make now are just, they don't make for me. Like they're not my thing. They've gone off in a direction with comics that just doesn't do it for me. But the comic book movies and the comic book shows are often like they, because they're being done by people who often, grew up with the older stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
They often pay homage to some of the older kind of comics more so than, cause you know, they do sort of like their spin on like classic storylines and things like that. Usually more often than newer stuff. So, and it's their own version of it, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's different, but
sort of a back to the way sort of where, times of comics.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So that's kind of where I get like my comic book fix.
Well, stuff that definitely translates better to television for sure.
Yeah. So for me, September 21st, is going to be the season premiere of the second season of Gotham.
Oh, right. Right.
So I did briefly talk about that Gotham in the first episode of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Basically it's not actually a good show, really. It's kind of a bad show.
I've heard it's like bad but fun.
It is fun, yeah. And what's fun about it is that it's just nuts. Like it's very kind of anything goes, and just not in like a crazy sort of, you know, it's not Airplane. Like it's not it's not complete parody, but it's just very sort of, huh. Didn't think they would kind of go there with that. That's kind of messed up. You know, and
well, they kind of pretty much have free reign to doing that show. Like they're not bound to any Batman continuity.
I mean, I guess it's just whatever they can get past Warner Brothers. Like they just
they sneak past Warner Brothers.
Like it's very crazy. I mean, it's overseen by I think his name's Bruno Heller, who's he created Rome. Funny enough, back to Rome. And so initially that was sort of what piqued my interest when they first announced they were doing Gotham. Cause I was just like, huh, like obviously Rome is kind of known as being quality material. So it's like pairing that with like a comic book basis and
but
stuff
like
that's gotta be great.
What is bad about the show? Is it like just, is the acting bad or is it just,
okay. It's not, the acting's not really bad, but it's just like every actor is like in a different show. Like there's no coordination
like
of the style.
Tone.
Yeah, there's, but like not just inconsistent tone from moment to moment. There's this inconsistent tone between characters, between like scenes, between episodes, between everything. It's just, it's, I guess that's why it would be considered bad more than anything else, is it's just a complete mess. Like it's a total mishmash of like everything, and it just goes up and down backwards and forwards, side to side, constantly.
Is the final episode of the show going to turn out? It's actually the Joker is filming a TV show based on what he think Gotham should have been.
Well, I don't know, but it's really interesting. I don't consider it.
Well, I see
it good.
a lot of every time a new episode comes out, it prompts internet articles of like. You like Gotham, still terrible, but you won't believe the craziness that happened.
Yeah,
this week.
And honestly, I don't really find it to be particularly good, but I find it very compelling. Like, yeah. I want to watch it every time. And it's funny because you look at something like we were just talking about Doctor Who. I think it's a good show, but I don't feel compelled to watch it until you know it just like makes it convenient to do so. Like it shows up on Netflix and I can just watch it at my own pace or whatever. With Gotham, it's just like I want to see every episode, but I'm just like. It's not going to be better. And then I'll watch it and I'll be like, nope, it's not better. But I can't stop. Like it's because it's just crazy. It's a network show and they'll just do insane things. Like I even mentioned this to you at this time. You might not even remember it. This is like months ago, but they had this episode where they're like looking for information about something and they raid this like bizarre, like underground, like, nightclub, like sex club place, and obviously they don't show anything like graphic, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a network show, it's like Fox or whatever it is, but just like the implication of it. And then the nightclub is like playing on like the music system, they're playing the original version of Ghost Rider by Suicide, which is like, you know, really weird music, and it's about a Marvel comic book character. Which is really
Disney
weird.
Disney gonna sue somebody.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, the song is not connected in any way to... Yeah. It's just an homage to the character. You know, like I'm the Law.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
an homage
for
Judge Dredd.
The Anthrax song, right? But it's just an odd choice. Like, somebody actually had to choose that and be like, you know, not only were we gonna play, like, Suicide, which is weird enough, but we're gonna play Ghost Rider by Suicide. Well, granted, I mean, it's one of their best known songs, so I mean, maybe that's all. It was as simple as choice as that. Yeah. But set it in this weird, like, crazy fetish, like, sex club place, and then like put it on network television. It's just like, wait, what? What? And then just like what they do with the characters.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum. Gotham.
Yeah, and just like what they do with the characters and stuff. You're just like. What is going on? Like, there's those one character.
I feel like I'm missing out now. But
there's this one character
show.
Who's like from like the gangster characters. This one character who's like this like sort of lead like henchman guy, and he basically gets taken away by like the sort of rival faction, and gets like tortured and sort of brainwashed essentially, and they bring him back, and now he's like. He's like on the other side and he's all like messed up in the head and stuff like that. But it all happens like off screen. Like he just disappears one episode and a couple episodes later he comes back and he's like a totally different character. And it's crazy. Like everything is just insane. And then in the midst of it all, somehow it's supposedly about Gotham and about like, you know, Batman, well, Bruce Wayne as like a kid and stuff like that. Like all this other stuff. Like, all the sort of Batman-related stuff, like, it doesn't even need to be there.
And it would still be a wacky, crazy
it
show.
It would still be an insane show without all that stuff. You put that in, and you're just like...
Crazy icing on
the
cake.
We can't see my
cake.
Face right now, but I'm making, like, a, like, what the hell
he is.
Face.
He's making the what the hell face.
Because it's just... I mean, I can go on. I mean, the show is... insane. Huh. And so I have to watch it because I have to see like they'll do.
I was tempted to watch it, but I'm always like often a bit let down by these shows. I mean, I watched all of Smallville and I kind of feel like I had
it's nothing like
kind of shows. But
Smallville
I am a big fan of the actor who plays the commissioner, Donald Lung.
Yeah, he's actually Bullock. He's actually Gordon's partner.
Oh, that's what
he's like the senior detective.
He's a senior detective.
Donald Logue.
Donald Logue. I always want to say Logue for some reason.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. It's like Irish name. And, which, I mean, they're not that hard to pronounce. It's just you got to do a little research and be like, okay, how is this pronounced? But yeah, no, he's really good.
Yeah.
It might be Logue.
Logue.
Logue, Lug, anything, any of those.
Any of those, yeah. I've never heard him say his own name, so I don't
but
know.
It's, the first name is like Donald without the D on the end. Yeah, it's that's like right. Donald, basically.
Donald, yeah.
Or yeah. Donal. It might even be Donal.
Donal, yeah.
Anyways, Gotham, crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff. Anyways, yeah, all right, Gotham, crazy. Next, I've got, same date, September 21st, Castle, season right. 8.
Yeah, so I haven't watched Castle since, like,
a long
season
time.
2
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
It's not really my bag. I respect it as a good show, but...
speaking of shows that have changed a lot, or since their, like, initial inception, at a certain point, the show kind of, like, jumped the shark. I think the fans have referred to as the show Jump the Tiger, because there was an episode with a tiger that was the, like, the craziness had kind of reached a peak, and then, like, it didn't affect the ratings.
Mm-hmm. So they just, and so they kept just going said, with it?
Yeah, and so now the show is like, it is a procedural show that just has a, like, usually some kind of light running thread.
Mm-hmm.
That connects all the episodes in a single season.
Yeah.
That you almost always culminates with a cliffhanger at the, like, winter break and then again at the summer break. Like, it's very, like, every season pretty much plays out the same way in terms of the pacing.
A little sort of 24 kind of.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Where you just have, like, a set formula.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a heavily watched show, but it's not the best show on television. But I really like the characters. And Nathan Fillion is so good.
He's just so enjoyable. He's good, but, you know, I would rather watch a bad show that's interesting than a good show that's just there. Yeah. That just kind of doesn't really do anything for me.
It's
you know, I don't generally watch bad shows, but
no. I think that the show's, weakness is its plot writing isn't always great, but its characters are awesome.
Yeah,
like, and so it's, I mean, I it's, always liked. I watch.
I always liked the characters, but it just wasn't really enough to keep me engaged. Like I say, I watched the first couple of seasons.
I actually can't believe it's on season 8. I thought for sure they were going to end it a couple of seasons ago.
I got pretty heavily into it, like during the first season, like when I decided to give it a try.
Yeah,
I got really into it for a while, but it kind of burnt out quick for me. Mm-hmm. I was just sort of like, eh. I mean, it's another one of those. Where you have the tension and the will they or won't they kind of thing. And that's been done so many times. And it's like,
well, I feel
how many
times they definitely did over the seasons play that out too long. I mean, eventually they resolved it. You know, they got married.
But which is fine. Cause I mean, you have, the problem is that you can never
you can never resolve that
tension
in a way that will.
Is great as a springboard for a show. But it can never last forever.
The payoff will never be enough.
Because you either have to never get them together, in which case it's going to be unsatisfying because you're just like, well, they're just stringing this along the same thing forever, which is not very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get together and that tension ends because they've resolved that. And then sometimes it just things really go downhill from there.
So what they did with Castle is
sorry.
They were like, okay, I mean, it took till the end of season 6 for them to get together.
Mm-hmm.
So the will they, won't they went on for quite some time.
That's pretty good.
And then, so they got married at the end of season 6, or sorry, at the beginning of season 7, and they're like, the tension's gone. What are we going to do? We'll make Castle lose his memory.
Ugh.
But
now we get into the gimmicky stuff.
It happened over the summer.
Yeah.
He gets kidnapped, and then at the beginning of next season, 7, they find him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he doesn't lose. He only loses his memory of where he's been for the last 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And so that is the through line for the small plot line for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And so it's just what they do is they're like, we don't have the tension. We got to just ratchet up the crazy a bit more.
But those gimmicks can backfire badly.
Oh, so badly.
Because you can either do them and you can be like, we're doing this to keep things like fresh and spicy, or you can do those gimmicks and people can just be like, that's just a gimmick. Like,
I think it worked about half the times they used the gimmick in the in the episode. It was about a 50-50 split, you know, which, I mean, for a show that basically is just doing well because of who's in it, you know, that's fine.
I like the characters, don't get me wrong.
I'm going to assume the next one we both have is the same. Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. You won't generally see very many comedy or like comedies or like sitcoms on my list because my feeling about TV sitcoms is very similar to my feeling about movie comedies, which we've addressed before, mm-hmm. where I basically just have very particular tastes in them, and there's very, very few that do it for
me. Most are terrible in both categories, TV and movie.
Probably TV even more so. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot stand sitcoms for to a large degree, 99.9% of the time. Movie comedies, I don't like most of them, but the ones that I do like, I love. Like, I mean, you know, I could give you a list and rattle off just like
some of my favorite ones. We'll have to do some comedy talk sometime.
Yeah, well, we will, for sure. For sure. But, I mean, as far as sitcoms go, like, I really like Seinfeld, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Stuff like that. But,
How I Met Your Mother.
Well, yeah. For about a season before I was just like, well, this is just going to get stringed along forever.
Yeah.
And it did.
It did.
So, yeah.
That was the last sitcom, like the last successful sitcom that I watched. Like 99% of the time, if I like a sitcom, I get about 6 episodes and it's canceled.
Yeah. How I Met Your Mother, I probably lasted about a season and a half on that or something like that before I was just like.
That 70s show.
And That 70s show. I mean, I never watched much of it when it was on, but as you know, a few months ago, I did a full watch from beginning to end, all 8 seasons on Netflix, and that was an experience. it starts out very strong and just kind of slowly slides downhill because it just basically went on for so long that it just ran out of steam. But it ran out of steam in a very natural way. Mm. You know, like they started out at, you know, 1,000 and they kind of just went down to like, you know, 50 by the end, but like 50 is still more than your average show, you know? So it was like, that was a good show, but it was one that I was never really that into when it was on.
Yeah.
So Brooklyn Nine-Nine to me is like pretty much the only sitcom worth watching that's on now. It's the only one that I watch. I came into it a little bit late.
Ditto. I have not seen most of the first season. I've seen all the second season, but I have not seen most of the first season. It's just one of those, I just have not gone back and watched it. It just keeps slipping my mind to do so.
Well, you should.
I know.
And the other thing about it is I got a few episodes behind in season 2, and I was like, oh, man, I got behind. And then, like, literally, I think it was like 2 or 3 days, maybe, at the most, after the season finale aired originally on TV, season 2 was all up on Netflix.
Yeah.
I could not believe that. I remember seeing a quick turnaround.
People were, like,
I could not believe it. Wow, I got an email notification that I was like, you might want to, you know, because I'd watched a bunch of the first season on there. And actually, I think I watched all the first season on there. Oh, I did. Yeah, that's exactly how I discovered it, because I had not watched it when it was originally on, and then I kept hearing about it because I knew like who like Andy Samberg was from Saturday Night Live and from Lonely Island, right? Because I liked Lonely Island stuff, and it's got like Andre Brower, who I remember from like Homicide,
right?
It's like best,
oops, oh yeah,
like greatest cop show ever, and stuff like that. So and then, I was just like, I'm just gonna give it a try, like. How bad could it really be? Like, I keep hearing such great things. Mm-hmm. I was hooked, like, immediately. And I blew right through season 1 on Netflix, and then I started watching season 2, like, on air, like, on actual TV.
TV, yeah.
And then I got, like, a couple behind because I was busy the night that it was on for a couple of times. And then I was just like, oh, man, I'm probably going to have to wait forever to, like, catch up on that. And then, boom, it was out on Netflix, like, right away. And I was just, I was so excited. So, yeah, great show. So funny. Like, every episode has multiple LOL moments.
I know. It is.
That's the funniest show I've seen in a long time.
It's got that, like, real wacky, like.
But you know what, though? It's wacky, but it's also, like, real. Like, it's like they actually do real police work, and they actually show you, like, how the detectives that are meant to be like are portrayed as being like good detectives on the show, they actually show you like why they're good detectives, and they actually show you them doing good detective work even if they're acting like idiots the rest of the time, you know, on a personal level.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine actually reminds me a lot of a show that was on, I believe it It was only a half season, number of years ago. It was a cop show, where same kind of deal. Like, it was a little more of a serious show, but it had, like, funny moments in it. I'm going to get the name wrong. It's not The Oddballs. It had Jeremy Renner in it. And
no, not
and it was, like, it was about a bunch of, like all the dysfunctional cops in, like, this precinct got, like, dumped into this one department so they wouldn't bother anyone else. And so it was, like, a lot of guys with, like... And they had, like...
Oh, I think I vaguely remember
that. And they all had, like, actual problems. Like, real life,
yeah.
You know, things. They played them up a little bit for TV, but, you know, like phobias and stuff like that. And it was a show where, like, there was comedy, and, it, you know, it was... You know, but at the same time, like, all the police stuff was, like, actual... Like, yeah. They did proper... You know, they didn't catch the bad guy in some ho-ho hijinks kind of funny way. It was like, oh, no, they actually, you know, gathered the evidence and, you know, did their jobs as cops. Which, you know, which made the funny parts in a way, like, seem more rewarding. Because they weren't in there just to be funny. They were natural.
Well, and that's how I feel about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Even though it's extremely over the top.
Oh, I think it's ridiculous.
But it's ridiculous in a way where you're just like, imagine if the world was actually like this. Yeah, that would be kind of nice. You know?
Well, I also think the mix of humor in it is good. Like... The volume of, like, where you'll get from, like, well, that was a deliberate, like, almost slapsticky thing to, like,
and
straight
each
up deadpan.
And each character kind of has their own sort of specialty.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. Looking forward to that. It'll be the first season I will be watching, like, as it airs, too. So.
Excellent. I'm definitely going to try and keep up with it.
I'm assuming the next one we also have the same is...
Most likely, yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. So, woo, season
so,
three!
Again, this goes back to the comic book stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, with this show...
ups and downs.
It does have ups and downs. Obviously, as everybody kind of talks about, it got much better after Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Near the end of the first season when everything kind of just blew up, as you know, and it was like, oh, this is the show that's actually supposed to be, but they were just like buying their time because they couldn't tell anybody what was going to happen in Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I actually feel like it was interesting because, like, after Winter Soldier, the show, like, that was mid season one.
Yeah, near the end of
season one, like, really picked up.
There's still some episodes
left. And then, like,
left,
jumped into, like the end of season one, the beginning of season two was, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. And I felt season two, like, the last half of season two started to drag a little bit with all the stuff about her and her, like, her family.
Yeah.
And that, like, the inhuman stuff started to drag a little.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like it's...
Like, I felt a little bit like, okay, get to the point already. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't like...
Again, I know sometimes because of its relationship to other Marvel things, they have to stretch things out a bit.
Some of the inhuman-related storyline, I feel like some of it was very sort of like the cliched kind of...
Yeah.
This is our entry point into this. But once we get this dealt with...
Like, hold on, we're getting the ball rolling.
It'll be a lot cooler once we get this sort of dealt with and out of the way. But it's just that sort of, like, obligatory introductory storyline.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel. Like, I think it will be better now.
And this is another show that I also feel like maybe the plot isn't always the strongest, but the characters are great.
I like... Yeah, and the characters are good.
For the most part.
The characters are good, and I feel like they've just got better. Like,
yeah.
Like, in the, at the beginning
well,
of the show...
They do a good job of developing the characters.
Like, at the beginning of the show, it was sort of like, okay.
Everybody had their set roles.
These characters were okay,
who,
I guess.
You know.
But, I mean, I know there was some disappointment that there wasn't sort of more use of, like, comic book-based characters that they lean so much on characters created specifically for the show. And they were all sort of seemed, like, very sort of stock, like archetypes at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that was, they had, each character had a role they fulfilled, and that was sort of how they launched the show.
And they were
so
very sort of typical. They were very stock to start with.
I feel that was probably, I mean, that cast launched with a large cast. And so having atypical archetypes was probably good because allowed you to immediately identify what was going on, you know, right away.
But
I
feel like they've only improved those characters
for sure.
Like so
well,
much
with all the double crossing and they're
really good now. Actually, it's interesting because if any of the characters have diminished in a way, almost, it's almost like Coulson himself, simply because
he's not in it.
They've
so
sacrificed his development a lot in order to give more to everybody else, and that's helped the show overall, because the rest of the cast have gotten so much more development and have got improved so much. But I sort of miss, like, Coulson being an important...
I mean, being the cool guy
that's cooler than everybody else, that knows his shit, knows what's going on more than anyone else. Like, I kind of miss that Coulson in a way, but they kind of sacrificed him a little bit in order to improve everyone else much. Yeah. So I totally understand, and I kind of think it's good the way they did it, but part of me still kind of misses the old Coulson.
Yeah, and if I had any, like, real complaint about the show, is that, like, Daisy slash whatever
Sky.
The Sky, like, she's like the pivotal axis of the show, kind of the weakest character. Like,
I think she's come a long way. I like her now.
I guess
at first I just
maybe she's not
at
the
first
weakest
I was
character.
Just kind of like
she's the character I like the least.
Fair enough.
And I think possibly that might be because that so much of the show pivots on her.
Yeah.
I wish there was a bit more, like, everyone else almost is there to serve what's happening to her for the most part. And I kind of wish there was a little more, maybe it'd just be too complex for, you know, like that in the normal viewer.
Well, I feel like
I kind of wish there was a bit more, like,
they had to pick somebody,
just all about her.
They had to pick a character whose sort of journey is the central journey that you're traveling
even though we kind of all wished it would have been, it wouldn't have turned out as good. We all wished it would have been Coulson, but for obvious reasons that wouldn't have
but
been
But I feel
good.
Like with
that would have been a weaker show.
And I feel like with him, it's like he's already who he is. You
exactly,
know, he's an established person, and it's not as interesting. Like, spending so much time on his journey wouldn't be as interesting because he's not really going, like, from this, you know,
he's not
starting
like a
point to an end point.
Yeah, like, what would Coulson's journey be? Like, they explored that in the first season.
A little bit,
But again, that was just plot stuff, not so much character development.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like they had to go with somebody, and I mean, you know, they took, you know, the youngest, basically the youngest and most kind of naive from the point of view of being new to this whole world.
Yeah.
Character. And that's who they sort of developed. I've thought they've done a good job with it. I like her now. I didn't really at the start. I was just kind of like, whatever.
No, I don't think anybody did.
I didn't really hate her. I was just kind of fairly indifferent.
Ambivalent, yeah.
It was just, she was just another stock character amongst all the other stock characters.
Well, initially she was the audience character.
Yeah.
Because she knew nothing. It was a way of telling everyone else what was going on. They developed out of that.
She's
quickly,
kind of the audience character, but at the same time, she is the ridiculous kind of like, oh, she's the young hotshot hacker.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That's bad, right?
Initial presentation.
But now
so
it's
good.
Like they hardly even mention that aspect of the character, right? So I like her now, but at the beginning, I just didn't like
I think also,
so much. But I mean, that's the case on pretty much all
I'm
the characters.
I'm really looking forward to season three because, and don't spoil it for me, spoil it, not the right word, but I don't remember how season two ended. So I'm going into season three, not remembering how the season.
It was
so
huge.
I know. I know it was big. Like what I recall of the final episode, I know wasn't like the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man.
Oh man.
That first episode of season three is going to blow my mind.
Yes, it will. And apparently, after much humming and hawing, because they kind of said that they were going to do it, and then they weren't going to do it, and now apparently it's back on, but in a different form, that they're going to do like a spinoff with Bobby.
No date on that yet or anything, but I'm cool with that because she was an amazing addition to the...
I mean, I like Adrian Pilecki anyway.
Yep.
And they've done a really good job with her.
Let's do our Mockingbird spinoff.
Yeah, and Hunter, you know, Hunter's cool. Yeah. So I think that'll definitely work. It might work out for the best that they kind of rethought things and their initial idea of what to do as a spinoff show. That they decided to not go with that, but then they sort of reconsidered it and then thought of a different sort of what they thought was a better idea that might work better.
Yeah.
That might end up being a good thing. Like, you know,
I'm going to assume the next one we also have is the same.
Almost certainly, sir.
The Blacklist.
Yeah. So October 1st.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Possibly one of my favorite shows on TV
now. That show's amazing. Everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
Although you have to start from the beginning, which is maybe a little bit chore for some people.
Yeah. It's worth it. Not every episode's a gem, but overall, every season is amazing.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's one of those shows that is, it's like, it's got the, I guess you could, like, I don't know, like the most, like the Lost thing to it, where it's got an overgoing story arc that just
better,
plays.
It's better than Lost, for
but
sure.
But I mean, in terms of like how that's why
it's
you have
way
to watch,
more consistent.
You have to watch every episode.
Yeah. But,
you know,
but
the show is all about the like the through line. It's not an episode to episode show.
No.
Even though it kind of presents
it kind
of,
well, it depends on what era, like, because it had times where it was more episodic,
bad guy of the week,
and other times where it was more serial.
Yeah,
but basically James Spader, absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, he's top dog right now, mm-hmm. as far as that goes. His performance is consistently great. Everybody on the show is really good.
Yeah.
The cast is
the lead actress,
Megan Boone.
Megan Boone, yeah. Yeah. She started off like definitely like kind of like I'm gonna say like a whole bunch of times in a row there. She started off poorly.
Yeah, you always had more issue with her than I did. I thought she was all right. She's definitely gotten way better as the show's gone on, but I thought she was fine to begin with. Especially playing with
I take it back. She was all right.
Mm-hmm.
But the other actors in the show, like, I mean, specifically her boss and James Spader, were so much better.
Yeah,
it made her seem not as... But like,
that's not a fair comparison. You're dealing with like, James Spader, Harry Lennox. Like,
yeah. Seasoned. Oh, but what I was going to say is they very quickly, and in retrospect, I don't think it was the actress. I think it might have been it was the role she was playing didn't start out as strong.
I mean, there's no question that she
doesn't. But they brought it up very quickly.
Yeah, right? And I mean, there's no question that she doesn't have like the experience and the background that like guys like that do. But she obviously has a lot of raw talent because she never did anything before this of this kind of stature.
No.
But sometimes people just need the right opportunity. The right opportunity to get the right job, the right writing, the right directing.
Well, that's it, right?
You know, and then they can really show what they're capable of. And she's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you wouldn't have thought it to watch anything that she's done before. Like, this was her first real opportunity to really show what she's mm-hmm. made of. And she's really stepped it up.
Yeah.
You know? Good old Diego.
Diego
Klattenhoff is great.
Yeah.
As, what is it?
Oh, yeah.
Donald Wrestler.
Donald Wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got, like, Wrestler, you got, like, Dembe, you got, like, everybody's
awesome. Dembe!
Everybody's awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
supporting actor of TV, Dembe, so good!
Yeah, like, they're all so good.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the plots, in terms of the procedural side of things... It's interesting, but it'd be nothing without this mm-hmm. cast. Like, you could do this show and with a different cast, and it would just not be as good.
It's funny actually. Going back to earlier, watching first couple episodes of Alias,
mm-hmm.
this show actually in ways, and I think I probably commented when we first started watching it, reminded me a lot of Alias.
Yeah,
in ways.
I mean there's definitely a similar. I mean,
it's
aspect
a,
in
it's
some
better.
Ways.
It's but it is yeah.
Yeah, but you also I think that sometimes you
it's
have
also
to
a decade or
yeah,
more later.
And sometimes you have to think back to the time and you have to you compare it to other things from the time, not so much from things now, because things now have the chance to build upon those things from the past.
The Blacklist is good in a way that only I'm gonna use the word modern, in the way that like 2010 plus TV. Really good TV is really good.
Well, and like, I think the networks have been forced to step up their game
mm-hmm.
as a result of the rise of premium cable shows and high quality basic cable shows too. Like, people are expecting that level.
Yeah,
and so networks have kind of upped their game as well, because networks have always had, you know, decent budgets and things like that, but so they've been sort of slick, but. In terms of the actual quality of scripts and acting and things like that, like they've had to really up their game because
I wonder if it's a lot of direction, like just a better director, a director who's trying to make like something
more cinematic.
Yeah.
More,
yeah.
Not as sort of cliched, like TV style.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Blacklist for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you got next?
Well, the next things for mine, obviously, you definitely won't have on your list.
Okay.
Because it's the other DC stuff.
Right.
So October 6th is The Flash, and October 7th is Arrow. Wow. So those are...
Back-to-back?
They're always like
Same network.
Yeah, same network. They take place in the same continuity. The Flash is essentially a spinoff of Arrow, but it's like a planned spinoff. Like, they knew... It wasn't like a spinoff where, like, oh, here's this character that's been appearing in Arrow. Like, let's make his own... Give him his own show.
It was deliberate.
He's getting his own show. Let's have him appear in Arrow first. Oh, you know, although he never actually appears as the Flash in Arrow until later, he was just.
Do they do a lot of crossover, or well, I guess there's only been one
they usually
season of Flash,
do.
Right?
There's been one season, in that season they crossed over probably had like maybe two big crossovers where like the actual like superhero type characters are
that's still
crossing
quite
over.
Significant for any kind of TV.
But they did like a lot of smaller crossovers where like. Maybe a secondary cast member from one show would go to the other show for an episode or vice versa.
I mean, probably the last time we had that kind of crossover in TV was Buffy Angel.
It's much more than that. Yeah. Because they...
But I'm saying, like crossover between shows, it's just something that doesn't happen, really.
Not too
Even
much.
You wished it would
especially
happen.
Especially not with the kinds of shows that we watch. It does happen somewhat with some of the more kind of... mainstream shows, shall we say, like where they'll have shows that are from, you know, the same producer or something, and they'll be like, oh, here's blah, blah, blah. But it's not usually the kind of stuff that we watch. So I mean, I know you don't watch the shows. You're not really a DC guy, but they're really good. I love Arrow. Last season was probably a little bit weaker than the first couple. Last season was the third season.
It's already fourth season. It's fourth season.
Fourth season's upcoming.
It's doing good then.
I've heard
a lot of people like it.
It's really good. Last season probably was like their weakest, but it was still good enough to keep watching. And last season also what made it kind of look not quite as good is because Flash came out of the gate like really at a really high level. Like
nice.
it had a really strong first season. And next season I'm really excited because next season is going to just get even crazier as far as the amount of like comic booky stuff they're doing. They're starting to bring in like the concept of like a multiverse and like different alternate, you know, worlds, and they're going to bring in like the old like the golden age like Flash and, you know,
nice.
Jay Garrick, the original Flash.
Well, this is definitely
like
I mean like DC definitely seems to they excel in the TV department. They've had some good, some bad in the movie category, mm-hmm. but they definitely like their world building in their TV like universe.
Yeah, well, especially
like keeping like all the characters together.
Yeah, especially these two shows that are in the same continuity, the same producers, you know, very closely entwined. You know, basically sister shows.
Yeah,
they've done a really good job with those.
It's actually interesting in a way that like this like all this happens post. Smallville, and that like too bad there won't be any kind of like
well, I mean,
which
I,
is obvious because there was a different Flash and all these characters were different
well
in
it's
show.
Really interesting actually because on Smallville the last what was it like the last few seasons they actually had like the Green Arrow Oliver Queen as like a main character
and he was
on Smallville. And so when there was talk of doing like a Green Arrow TV show afterwards, everyone just assumed it was going to be like
that's
a spinoff and they were going to keep the same guy and everything. And I would have thought like, yeah, that's the way to go. That's perfect. Cause he only did like the last three seasons of Smallville as a regular. And then one season before
they
that
immediately
as a guest.
Divorced themselves from that.
Well, hold on. But what was interesting about it is I just assumed that would be the case. Cause
yeah.
I mean,
me too.
He seemed to be up for it. Justin Hartley, the actor who did it. And because he didn't have that kind of level of like, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. Enough is probably enough, you know. He probably had a good few years more in him. And then when they announced Arrow and it was like a completely separate thing, I was very skeptical because I was just like, well, what's the point of that? Like, they've already got all this world building done. They already have an actor. They already have a character established. And then I saw Arrow and I was like, oh, because this is already better than Smallville ever was from, like, the get-go. It's, like, a totally different approach. Yeah, like, I really enjoyed Smallville. I lasted all the way through its 10 seasons, but it was always kind of, like, a bit of a cheesy mess, you know? Like, it was something that you enjoyed almost on the kind of level of, like, how I like Gotham. Like, it was,
it's a,
like,
guilty pleasure.
It was almost more like a guilty pleasure, except I mean, I was never guilty about it. It was. It was a fun show.
I feel sometimes I don't know if I...
But, I mean, I watched the old... I watched the Lois and Clark, you know, yeah. Superman show back in the 90s. Because, I mean, I'll that's what I'll do. You know, I'll watch those things.
To me,
and I'll just get whatever enjoyment I can get out of them.
The amazing thing was that they decided to, like, I mean, they basically decided to reboot their TV universe.
Yeah.
Even though they had some stuff set up.
Mm-hmm.
They reboot it with, of all characters, the Green Arrow, mm-hmm. which I guess kind of maybe budgetary makes the most sense.
Well, they couldn't use Batman.
They couldn't. Well, they
basically, Green Arrow is a poor man's Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way, you can't dance around that.
No.
It is true.
Yeah.
But they, obviously they couldn't use Batman, and but they made the most of it. And they accentuated the differences instead of really dwelling on the similarities, which are many.
Mm-hmm.
And they did their own thing with it. And I'm dead serious. Like, that.
Between these two shows, have they ever mentioned Superman or anything like that?
No. See, on Arrow, they didn't even... There was not even a hint of... Because initially, Arrow... The approach that they took on Arrow was very heavily influenced by, like, the Dark Knight movies.
Yes.
And there was no hint that there would ever be anything...
Right, of course, yeah.
Like, superpowers, anything mystical, anything overly... Like anything supernatural, anything like that. It existed,
and then they had The Flash.
Existed in a pure, like action movie sort of universe, much like the Dark Knight movies. To begin with.
Which is much easier to do for TV.
Well, it was cool, but I kind of wondered, even before they announced that they were doing Flash, I was like, you know, how long can they really keep that going before it kind of gets a little bit tiresome? And also, how much comic booky stuff can they do when they have to kind of adapt it so heavily to fit it into that style? And as it turned out, what they were really doing is they were just kind of using that as a starting point and then just kind of easing us into the idea of superpowers and things like that. And now it's just kind of, they've been fully introduced, you know, but it's a little bit like Heroes maybe in the respect of it's not a world where, like, oh, there's been superpowered people for decades and it's just kind of a fact of life. It's something where it's a new thing. Like, it's an event occurs that causes people to begin having super... I mean, even say, like, on Smallville, they explained it where it was, you know, because of the meteor rock that arrived with Clark as a baby, caused, like, mutations and stuff and caused people to take on, gain abilities and stuff like that. And that's how they kind of explained it, where all of a sudden people start popping up with powers and stuff. It's kind of like that, you know, like, that basically an event occurs and now... There's people suddenly, you know, getting these superpowered, you know, superpowers and stuff like that. So they sort of ease you into it. And it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool.
Love it.
Cool. Next, I got right around the same time. I have, I think it's actually the same day, October 6th, iZombie Season 2. Also comic book.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, though. It's not really my thing.
It definitely... It's a very light show. It definitely steers much more towards the, like,
I thought
funny
about...
than like, it's not quite a sitcom, but it's, like, kind of...
I thought about checking out when it was first starting, but I don't know. It's hard for me to get past the zombie thing.
I mean, it's...
I'm, like...
The zombies in the show are, I mean, the fact that they...
I understand.
They use the word zombie, but is... It's completely, like, whatever.
But that's what's hurting it for me, because interest in zombies is, like, negative. Because I'm so horribly burnt out on them.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there's no genre that has been worse abused.
Speaking of that, the next show I have is The Walking Dead, Season 6, which I know you've completely...
I guarantee you I will never watch that show again.
Yeah. And... I definitely, there was a time when I was like, do I want to keep watching this?
I mean, what did I watch? First two seasons? Maybe three?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that's like half of the season.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember. I don't know. What happened in season three?
It's a lot of stuff
The last
happened,
thing I
so
remember,
I
last thing I remember was when they went to, like, that farm, and there was, like, with, like, the Doctor.
I think
Herschel
that was season two.
Stuff.
I think that was season two. That was season two, and then into season three. Yeah.
I probably finished two and never started three.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
I
remember where there was all the zombies in the barn.
In the barn,
and then they let them out, and they just start shooting them all. Yeah. And then one of them is the little girl that they've been looking for the whole season.
Yeah. I'm pretty
That's
sure
the last
that was season
thing I remember.
I'm pretty
That's
sure
like
that
the end of
two.
Season two, right?
Yeah,
that was like the big
sure,
like
yeah,
da da da. Big shock finale, yeah. Well, that's pretty much the last thing I saw.
That show has had good and bad, like, segments. Like, that show definitely does not know when it's... Or they make no attempt to...
Well, it's
to,
a phenomenon. There's nothing that we can say
that's
going to dissuade...
I think it's... They don't... They're like, these next three episodes are going to drag.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to watch it because the fourth episode is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know... And it's one of those, like, there's not a lot of episodes in a season. It's a, you know, it's a not a network show. It's not your standard 24 episodes, but 22 episodes. But they definitely don't seem to care that, like, there's going to be some slowness. You know, that's just the way these episodes are going to be. Lots of talking. Nothing's going to really happen, you know. But I like the characters. You know, it's just...
I probably wouldn't even recognize most of them anymore.
Yeah. A lot of them are dead from the early stuff, you know. I mean, you know, all the standard characters are there. But I read a lot of the comic, and it's very interesting to see how... Well, I'm going to say not very interesting. It is just interesting to see, like, in that sort of Game of Thrones-y way, where, like, what has stayed the same and what has, like, radically diverged to meet, you know, television. What else you got?
Have anything else for returning shows that I've watched before. But there is one thing that I want to mention that's like a pseudo returning show, I guess, that has my interest piqued for this coming season. And that's which I've never seen before, but it's American Horror Story.
I've heard that's really good. I've also never seen that.
Yeah, I've never actually watched it. But you know, I do like horror, obviously. But I guess my understanding is it's like an anthology, like it's a season-to-season anthology. So each season is its own setting, and the cast, much of the cast remains the same, but they have different characters every season, which is a really fascinating concept in and of itself. But this season coming up is, I guess it's Hotel, it's called?
Yes.
Like it's Horror Story Hotel. So it takes place like in a, you know, I guess like a creepy hotel. And there's, like, vampires involved. And it's a sucker for vampires, you know, as long as it's not stupid stuff like, you know, Twilight. Sorry, all Twilight fans, but come on. but, you know, I am a fan of vampire stuff. So I'm kind of thinking I might give it a try this season because since you don't have to have seen previous seasons because, you know, they start fresh each time. And the concept kind of piques my interest a little bit more than others have. So I'm thinking of giving it a try, but that's not a guarantee that I will. But I just thought I should mention it.
Yeah, no. I just got a couple more. Fargo season two.
Yeah, didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it? I was actually quite surprised that you didn't and made no attempt. It is because it's just really good. I mean, I know you like the movie.
If it doesn't have, like, you know, something a little bit different, like, it's very hard for me to watch, like, a straight, like, you know, takes place in the world with people show.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be, like, you know, aliens or
vampires,
superpowers or like something extra, some fantasy element, because that just tends to hold my interest more.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
If it's just kind of people doing stuff, that's fine for a movie maybe, but you know, unless it's something like Blacklist that is so incredibly good, like it's hard to hold my interest with something like that.
I've also got, and this will the final season of Da Vinci's Demons.
Yeah, again, never watched it.
Yeah, that's a crazy show where they really just go nuts with like whatever. Like they don't make it's based in history. But, like, in a history that you've never read of,
of. No, that's cool.
You know, they do a lot of the kind of the, based on the, like they incorporate a lot of, like, legend and myth into it.
It's almost like a, sort of like a, it's to the Renaissance, what, like, the Weird West is like to, like, Old West.
Very much, very much, and basically, if Leonardo da Vinci was, like, the greatest I guess you could say he was a very smart man.
Yeah.
But like, at his time, for his time, like, he was an amazing everything.
Yeah.
And like, his only failing,
a Renaissance man.
A Renaissance man, you could say.
Pretty sure.
And his only failing was
that's
that,
what
like,
he actually was.
His ego, when his ego gets in his way, mm-hmm. and
they have to have character.
Yeah,
flaw.
Yeah. And so that's like his character flaw, is that he believes in himself too much, and then that sometimes, you know, cuts
I'd probably believe in myself quite a lot too if I was Leonardo da Vinci. I'm going to be honest here.
I'll invent a goddamn flying machine.
Yeah.
And way late, not until November, season 4 of Elementary.
Right, which yeah. again, I've never seen.
Yeah, you've never seen. I couldn't remember if you'd watched like the first season or not.
No.
Although
there is an aspect to it, which I won't mention here mm-hmm. for because I guess it would be technically an incredibly huge spoiler.
Oh, okay.
But there is an aspect of it that when I heard about it, I was like,
it's the Moriarty stuff, or
yes,
yeah.
And when I heard about that, I was like, that almost makes me want to watch that show. Like, that is one of the most genius twists that I've heard. That, like, that actually kind of has me interested.
They lay it out, and
like,
the way-
if the people behind that show could come up with something like that,
mm-hmm.
then they may be the kinds of people that would make a show worth watching. That's what I'm trying to say.
But
I still have not seen
it. It is one of those,
I've
like,
not watched
because
it
you,
to
you,
this day.
Like, you are obviously, you're aware of the twist,
mm-hmm.
which would be interesting to know, like, if you watch the show, seeing that twist play out, because it's one of those, when the twist happens.
I feel like for me, it may actually be better knowing it.
Yeah.
But for some people, the reason why I'm not saying it is because for some people, it might ruin it.
When the twist happens, you're like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. Hang on, wait, I'm an idiot. They've been leading up to this for like a season and a half. I just didn't put like two and two together because they sprinkle it out in ways mm-hmm. and they give you red herrings. And
see, now you saying that is actually even more, it has gotten even more
And it's hard. It is a police procedural.
Yeah.
With a through line. You know?
And we've talked about this before too.
It's a character show. It's all about the characters.
We've also talked
so
before
about
the fact that part of my,
well, you love,
part of my problem with it was that it just seemed kind of like really, like, so they have a successful Sherlock Holmes, modern day Sherlock Holmes based show happening in the UK. So like, oh, we got to make our like American version of it. Like, it just seemed like a very suspicious
it
timing
is
and kind of
so nothing. Like.
I understand. And I respect that. Yeah. And that's the only thing that's kind of that. It adds to the pile of things that might make me interested.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
it also can make
my
you
point
wary
is
of it too,
that
for sure.
It put me off of it
right.
really badly right off the bat mm-hmm. because I was like, really? Come on. Like, you couldn't just wait, like, you know, a few years or something? Like,
yeah.
You know, when everybody's celebrating the settling of Holmes's status as public domain. Yeah. It was just like, oh, well, it's finally settled.
I'm honestly surprised there are not more shows based on
that. So, I mean, I think that it's a little...
Yeah.
It just struck me as kind of... It's a little bit... I don't really know the word exactly, but it just seems...
I understand.
It just seems...
It puts a bad taste in your mouth.
It's a bad taste in my mouth
way.
Because
yeah.
I'm just kind of like, really? Like, you just gotta... It's like those... It's like the Asylum making, you know, their mockbusters. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they're coming out with a Thor movie. We'll make our own Thor movie. You're coming
out
with...
ours.
You know? You're coming out with, like, War of the Worlds. We'll make our own War of the Worlds. Yeah. You know, which is, again, something...
Two R's in the word war for that movie.
Yeah.
Two R's is how they run their mock.
Well, they don't have to worry about it because that's all public domain as well, right? So,
but that's another case of, like, War of the Worlds public domain?
Well, sure, because the book is over 100 years old.
But why is there no War of the Worlds TV show? The fact that
there was in the 80s. It was pretty sweet, actually.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. Oh, it was actually the show, the 80s show was a sequel to the 50s movie version.
Wow.
And it took place in the same continuity. They even brought back like the original like leading lady from the 50s version playing an older version of her
character. Okay, it's supposed to take place later.
Yeah, it's like 30 years later. And they used like the same, like the models of the original, like the Martian ships from the original, the 50s movie. They used like they either recreated those models or used them, you know, or restored them or something, but like they use the same designs and stuff. But they kind of took it a step forward. Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, okay, Netflix, get on that. Make my War of the Worlds.
But yeah, I mean, but I mean, that's been, again, I mean, that was like in the late 80s. Yeah, so
30
I mean,
years ago.
It's been another 30 quite years, some time. Yeah. So yeah, I'm surprised.
Well, it's been like, what?
Well, they probably they did make that
15 years since
there was that show.
The Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah, and they did have that show that was on for a number of years that was kind of like an alien invasion TV show.
Oh,
I don't remember what it was called.
There's been a couple.
But recently, there was like a fairly high profile alien invasion based show, which is pretty much like World of Worlds, you know.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head when this was sometimes a while ago, and that only ran like half season, was that movie Threshold, or that TV show Threshold, which
yeah.
really enjoyed.
It wasn't that one. It was
no,
like,
it was a different one. But anyways.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So that's all I got for returning.
Yeah.
Which
same here.
Lots of discussion on returning because we have lots.
Well, because we've
seen
them.
Stuff about.
Yeah.
It.